Today on The Journey.
When you talk about the cinching of the belt, it gives us this picture that we're not casual about that. It's not a relaxed state. If we are going to be men of integrity, it is ever ready, be on your guard, be cinched up.
You are to put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. What does that mean, and how is it accomplished? Today, Ron Moore and men's minister Tunch Ilkin continue a look at the weapons of the spiritual armory and how they're to be used so that you can stand in the battle. Before that, I want you to know about Ron's encouraging devotional, Strong and Courageous. It reaffirms, from the book of Joshua, that God is in control and has great things for you to do. Strong and Courageous is available for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Your donation will help further our ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. I'll have more about this inspiring resource later in the program. In our last time together, we learned that preparation is essential to spiritual victory. We also began a look at the whole armor of God found in Ephesians 6. Now here's Ron to introduce his guest host as they resume their discussion titled, Preparing for Battle, Weapons on the Journey.
With me for this special series on men's issues is Tunch Ilkin, pastor of men's ministry and a sought-after speaker on men's issues. Tunch is a 14-year veteran of the National Football League, 13 of those years as an all-pro tackle for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And Tunch, let's go through a passage of scripture because it's so practical.
Right.
And God says, okay, here's the battle,
right?
And you better put on the armor.
Yeah.
Ephesians chapter 6, 13 through 17. So let's just talk through these. Finally, Paul says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Now, he gives us responsibility.
Yes, he does.
So we can't just say, oh, I'm going to let go and let God. But he says, here's some things you got to do. Put on the full armor of God, not some of the armor.
No. Not most of the armor. not everything, but...
Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. I love that word stand. The Greek word means withstand or stand against, and it denotes urgency.
Right.
So I'm in a battle. I got to take my stand. I got to make sure that I understand God's strength and I understand God's power. And I get the full armor on so that when whatever comes against me, I'm going to be able to stand it. I'm going to be able to take it on.
You know, I always think of Reggie White because he had this unbelievable bull rush and he used to just run over people. It would be ugly, Ron. If you didn't take a stand, what do you have, 200 sacks in his career? And he would just pick up the offensive tackle and he would lift them off their feet. Why? Because they didn't have a good stance. And so that's a great picture to me because, you know, you have to stand. The picture is it's coming. Mm-hmm. It's not like, oh, just in case, it's coming. You got to stand.
Not only did you play, but you coached. I did that as well. And one of the first things I taught the players is here's the athletic stance.
Right, yeah.
You have to be standing firm
right.
in order to take whatever's coming at you or in order to be able to move forward. So it's no surprise, is it, that God says, first, you got to know my power,
right.
and then take on the stance.
You got to stand because here it comes.
So here's what we need to put on. First, the belt of truth.
Right.
Talk about the soldier's belt of truth and why that belt was so important.
We were talking off the air about how in the first century and in Roman times, the garments were very loose-fitting. And the belt would cinch everything up. I always think about when I would put my football pants on, that if your football pants didn't feel tight, you didn't feel right. The football belt's not with the holes in it. It
Velcro.
That's not Velcro. Yeah, cinch it tight because...
Someone can call in and tell us what kind of belt that is.
Yeah, I forget what they call it, but you know, they got the two loops on the end. You know what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about. Right. I just don't know the name of it.
So you'd cinch that sucker mm-hmm. as tight as you could to the point where it was uncomfortable. You wouldn't wear it that way just sitting here. But when you're getting ready to walk on the football field, you cinch that thing on really tight.
So the belt of truth is so important. And the belt of truth is talking about integrity. It's talking about faithfulness. It's talking about a man who knows who he is. And like you say, he's cinching his belt tight. He is whole. There's a sense of the first thing we need is integrity.
Yeah, it's interesting. When you talk about the cinching of the belt, it gives us this picture that we're not casual about that. If we are going to be men of integrity, it is be on your guard, be cinched up. I love that because if you look at what integrity is, you know, we talk about the Psalm 15, Lord, who can dwell in your holy hell? Who can live in your sanctuary? And then it goes down this list of stuff. That's not a casual life. That is a very disciplined life. It doesn't mean we can't have fun. We cut up all the time. There is joy in this life, but there's also a real seriousness to it.
And again, just a reminder, it's God who gives us the strength. It's God who gives us the power. We're going to fall on our own. And he calls us to do some things.
Right.
And one of that is to cinch the belt. Next one, armor of God, breastplate of righteousness. And that's not talking about our conversion to Christ. That's talking about what one commentator says, a sanctifying righteousness, righteous living, practicing what's right.
It gives us picture. What does the breastplate protect? It protects our heart. And you know the proverb, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. So that's where my desires come from. It is an outpouring of my heart. And that breastplate guards my heart. This righteousness is in line with my heart. It's not this legalism where I want people to see my righteousness.
Right. So I want to talk about that just for a second, because some people get hung up on this. I've done sermons where I go through scripture. If you listen to the program, you know we want to explain what God's word is saying. I go through a passage of scripture that has a lot of do's, a lot of don'ts. You look at scripture and there are some passages like that. And then I get an email, Ron, man, you're not talking about grace. It's all about grace. Where's the grace here? I get where they're coming from. It is all about grace.
It is grace, right.
It's grace. And within grace, because we can't do anything without God's grace, we have a human responsibility to do what's right. We can't do it unless God's given us the grace or the strength to do it. He partners with us in this.
Yes. We need grace for salvation. We need grace for living. We need grace for obedience. But there is my part. Otherwise, there wouldn't be so many do's. It wouldn't be, hey, Abraham, go. It wouldn't be Moses, do. God calls us, and we're not going to be self-righteous about this. We're not going to be legalistic about it. But I have my responsibility. Just like I have a responsibility to lead my wife and my children, I have a responsibility to provide for them. Life entails responsibility. So there's a spiritual responsibility as well as this other practical responsibility of everyday living. And they're intertwined.
They are intertwined. So God says, I'll give you all the power you need. I'll give you all the grace you need. And here, go put on the armor of God. Put on the belt of truth. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Have your feet fitted for the gospel of peace. Now, that's not going out and sharing the gospel.
Right.
That's the stability and sure-footedness we have from the peace that comes from knowing not only who we are, but whose we are.
Yeah.
The gospel of peace. It's so important that the men and women listening to this broadcast understand their position in Jesus Christ as a believer in Christ. And nothing can change these, right?
Right.
The things can go away.
Yeah.
We are accepted by God. We are a child of God, Scripture says. We are forgiven.
Mm.
And nothing can separate us from his love.
Yeah.
He takes our sin. He throws them as far as the east is from the west. He remembers our sin no more. He throws them in the depths of the sea. He treads our sin under his foot.
Yeah.
There's so many images in Scripture. God says, I want you to know you are forgiven. I am secure. I grew up thinking I could lose my salvation.
Right.
Man, that was a tough way to grow
up.
But I know that I'm secure. I can't do anything to make God love me more. I can't do anything to make God love me less because his love is perfect.
Yeah.
And I'm empowered. As God says, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Accepted, forgiven, secure, empowered. Man, that gives you some sure-footedness, doesn't it?
Amen. And dearly loved and fearfully and wonderfully made and chosen before the foundation of the earth to conform to his likeness. One of the things that I used to do is when I wore my football shoes, I'd wear them extra tight, like a half size small. And then I would tape them on. So I wanted my feet and shoes to be one. So I think about that. Wearing my spikes that way made me feel stable. Mm-hmm. It made me feel like I could stand against whatever was coming. That feeling of sure-footedness and that I had the right spikes for the right field. So I love that imagery.
So we're talking about engaging in the battle. We're talking about the different terrains, the world, the flesh, and the devil that we have to do battle in. And we need to make sure that there is security. There's a sure-footedness in who we are in Christ. So let's go back to that guy who's being tempted sexually. All right. There's the physical aspect. There's a mental aspect. But there's also, the world says, sexual conquest.
Right, right.
Or you really want to be accepted by this person or recognized by this person. And your wife, you know, she's not really giving you the recognition you need. You deserve this over here. Unless you have a sure-footedness of who you are in Christ.
Right.
That's alluring.
We have both counseled men who have fallen into adulterous affairs, not desiring to be an adulterous affair, just entering into a relationship, a seemingly innocent friendship with a woman, but because a woman now starts flattering you and telling you you're someone special, and boy, that feels good. And she talks about her problems, and then the way we are wired as men, as protectors and as warriors and knights, well, I'll slay that dragon for you, and let me help you with that. The next thing you know, we get seduced into that relationship, totally unaware of what just happened. So if that's where I get my significance, if that's where I get validated in the eyes of a coworker, specifically a woman, then I'm in deep trouble. Mm-hmm. Now, if my validation comes from knowing who I am in Christ, those things that we mentioned, well, I don't need this adulation. Feels good. I mean, it's easy to fall into
right,
that,
right.
But I need to understand that.
And again, that's why I think we need to continue to remind ourselves who I am in Christ, accepted, forgiven, secure, chosen. I am His, and
yeah.
He is mine. And that's where my significance
right.
comes from. My feet are fitted with a gospel of peace. In my heart, there's a peace in knowing who I am and whose I am.
I like the way you put that.
So, full armor of God, belt of truth, breastplate of righteousness, feet fitted for the gospel, shield of faith. So, the Roman soldier had a shield made out of wood, so it's lighter, about 2.5 feet wide, about 4 feet long, overlaid with linen and leather. And it was to protect the body. It was to absorb the fiery arrows that were coming. We're to have a shield of faith, of trust in God, of knowing who God is, of knowing that He protected us yesterday. We know He's going to protect us today.
Right. You know, I was watching this documentary on Roman soldiers and the way they fought. When they'd fight people with the fire arrows, they'd take the leather and they'd soak it, and then they'd put it on the shield so that when the arrows came, they'd be put out because of the wet leather. This shield is to protect the vitals. In the Spartan culture, the formation that the Spartans would fight, your shield actually protected the vitals of the guy next to you. So the guy to your right, he's protecting your heart. The guy to your left, you're protecting his heart. And I thought, wow, that's true about us too as men. When we lock arms, that we do encourage and protect one another. And our faith is an encouragement and even sometimes a protector for our brothers in arms. How many times have you been encouraged by the faith of a brother? I know I have. I know you have. I read this book called Gates of Fire, which was the book that they made the movie 300. The book's phenomenal. But it really focuses on the Spartan culture. And in the Spartan culture, if you didn't have your shield stuck vertically in the ground and at the ready, you were chastised, you were beat up, you were ostracized, you got in big trouble because it protected the guy to the left of you.
Because you are always fighting not only for yourself but for somebody
else. For someone else, yeah. There is so much at stake. Our marriages, our children, our grandchildren, our friends, our families, the list goes on.
Breastplate of righteousness, belt of truth, feet fitted for the gospel of peace, shield of faith, and God is more than faithful. He's going to give us everything we need to do what He's called us to do.
Right.
Helmet of salvation. It's the last thing the soldier puts on, and he puts it on when he can see the enemy coming, when the danger is impending. He buckles up.
Right.
So talk about that with the football helmet.
Yeah, well, it's always the last thing you put on. I always wore my helmet tight. The helmet is uncomfortable. It doesn't feel good on your head. So you only wear it when you're actually out on the field. When you buckle it up tight, and you don't buckle it up until you're running out on the field. And we used to have this saying right before we took the field, buckle up, baby. It's going to be a tough one. My rookie year, I remember all I did was run down on the kicks, and I was right next to the kicker. They called it L1. That means to the left, the first guy to the left of the kicker. And my job was very, very simple. I was to run as fast as I could to the key guy in the wedge, and there would be a four-guy wedge, and one guy would be the point of the wedge, and he would always hold his hand up where everyone would gather around him, and my job was to run as hard as I could and to stick my head into his face, and to, as Chuck Noll used to say, hotwire the wedge. You know the old adage, you don't have to be crazy to work here, but it helps. So that was my job, and I loved that job. It was great. You just run as fast as you can, but if you didn't buckle up, Ben, you'd be looking out your ear hole. Yeah.
So, helmet of salvation. Man, we got to know that when we put on the helmet of salvation, that's our protection.
Right.
And we cannot go into battle unprotected.
Right.
When we put on that helmet that God gives us, that is going to save us.
Yeah.
And when we can stick our head in the battle, and God is the one giving us that protection for a vital part of our body.
Yeah, and it's the knowledge of the scriptures. You know, I think that's another part of that. It protects our head. Obviously, the change is from the heart, but it is processed in the mind. When I'm reading the scriptures, it goes through my mind, and then it goes down into my heart. So I got to make sure my mind's working, and I need to protect my mind from all the false stuff that's coming at me.
Sin comes through the mind.
Right.
The pattern of sin. He saw, he wanted, he took. See it with your eyes. You start thinking about it in your mind. It goes to your heart, out of your hands. Saw, wanted, took. So the helmet of salvation is that very practically protecting what we're seeing and what we're thinking. Because when we see something we shouldn't see, whatever it is, when we start to mull over, coddle sinful thoughts, it moves into the heart and then out into action.
Yeah.
Helmet of salvation, and then one more, sword of the Spirit, and Paul explains this one, which is the Word of God. Yeah, the only offensive weapon that Paul has in the whole list. For the Word of God, Hebrews 4:12, is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces to the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is able to discern the thoughts and intentions of my heart. I am incapable of judging the thoughts and intentions of my heart. But then I go to the Word of God, and there it is right there in black and white, God's Word staring right at me. Don't do this, do this. It's a double-edged sword. The importance, Tunch, of guys reading Scripture every day, there is no substitute to that.
No. And memorizing Scripture and meditating on Scripture. And guys get really lazy about that. Years ago, I was lazy. But we need the Scriptures because the battle's raging. All right? Mm-hmm. It is raging. So it's like I need to be able to grab that sword. I need to be able to bring that scripture to mind. How many times have we heard the word and thought about a situation that we were in, and boy, it pierces the heart. And I'm like, oh man, I really blew that. You know, I really blew that. But then, okay, so the word then also tells me that there's forgiveness. Mm-hmm. So I don't just stand there bleeding. I move on. Every season would start with the Steelers playbook. And everything that I needed to know about what the rules are with the Pittsburgh Steelers, the rules of the National Football League, every defense that we were going to see that year, and every play we were going to run was drawn up against those defensive. So God has his playbook, and in his playbook, there is nothing that I will encounter in my life that hasn't been written about in his playbook. None of it's going to be, oh, boy, that was a surprise. I mean, that's not like, you know, I didn't know that was coming. So I think that's the beauty of it, that whatever comes our way, we have a playbook for it. God talks about it, whether is how do I love my wife as a husband? How do I teach my children as a father? How do I live as a friend, as a brother, as an encourager? It's all there. And it all I got to do is pick the sword up. And so when the battle comes, I'm ready for it.
But I got to pick it up. Again, it's all grace, right?
Right.
And I had to take time to read the Word. I've got to be in God's Word. You tell a story about, I think it was one of your first two or three years, all the offensive linemen were lining up, and putting spray
on. Oh, yeah.
Chuck Noll came and said, time out.
Yeah, yeah. I hate to admit this, but we heard that through silicone, you could make your shoulder pads so slippery that your opponent couldn't grab it. And one of the things in offensive line, you don't want to get grabbed. And that's why we wore our jerseys so tight and two-sided tape so it would tape down to our shoulder pads so you couldn't get grabbed. So we were in there in a line, and guys were just spraying, and Chuck walks in. And he said, what are you guys doing? And I'll never forget this. He said, we are the Pittsburgh Steelers. We don't have to cheat. And that was the last time anybody sprayed silicone on their shoulder pads. I mean, all it would take was one disapproving remark from Chuck to nip everything right in the bud.
And so at some point or another, all of us are in line
to get some spray on, to make it easier.
And then we read God's word, and he says, no, we don't do that.
Yeah, no shortcuts.
No shortcuts. We don't have to cheat.
Yeah.
Here's how we play the game. This is the standard. That may be what everyone else is doing.
Right.
Everyone else may be spraying the slick stuff on their jerseys. But Noll said, Pittsburgh says we don't do that. God says, as a believer, you don't do that. I don't care if everyone's doing it.
Right.
You belong to me. Remember, you're accepted. You're forgiven.
Right.
You're secure. You belong to me. And that's why God's word is so important. It frustrates me when people use God's word as a rabbit foot. I read scripture today. I'm going to have a good day. I'm misreading scripture. Oh, it was
a bad day. I feel like going, how's that really working for you?
It's the playbook.
Yeah.
We need to read God's word so that we know how to do that day, that we know what to stay away from. Again, it discerns the thoughts and intentions of my heart. I can rationalize any sin.
Yeah.
And then I look at God's word and it says, don't do that.
Right.
Don't rationalize it. It judges the thoughts and intentions of my heart. Tunch, there's a quote that we have here. I want you to read it because it's from Martin Luther. Martin Luther, you know, he didn't pull punches.
No, he didn't.
But he talks to pastors. And I want pastors, just listen to this, because we're studying God's word every day. We're doing sermons all the time. We can get lazy in God's word. So read what Martin Luther says about reading God's word to pastors.
Too many pastors and preachers are lazy and no good. Way to go, Ron. They do not pray. They do not read. They do not search the scripture. The call is watch, study, attend to reading. In truth, you cannot read too much in scripture. And what you read, you cannot read too carefully. And what you read carefully, you cannot understand too well. And what you understand well, you cannot teach too well. And what you teach well, you cannot live too well. The devil, the world, and our flesh are raging and raving against us. Therefore, dear sirs and brothers, pastors and preachers, pray, read, study, be diligent. This evil, shameful time is not the season for being lazy, for sleeping and snoring.
Martin Luther, didn't pull any punches.
That's right. Wake up, babe. Get in the battle.
Preparing for the battle. God's word tells us how to do it. Put on the full armor of God, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, feet fitted for the gospel of peace, shield of faith, helmet of salvation, sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Father, help us not to put on some of the armor, not to put on the armor that's just comfortable for us. But like Tunch said, sometimes parts of the armor, it's uncomfortable, but we have to have it on for our protection. Help us to put on the full armor of God. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
And please stay with us. Ron and Tunch return in a few moments with a look at our next time together. In a day of doubts and fears, of challenges and opportunities, you need the assurance of God's power and guidance. The children of Israel faced just such days as they entered the Promised Land. How they won the day with God's direction and strength is told in the book of Joshua. Now, Ron Moore surveys that heroic story in his encouraging devotional, Strong and Courageous. In its reflections, Ron shares thought-provoking insights that will equip you to spiritually imitate Israel's ultimate victories. A digital copy of Strong and Courageous is yours for a donation of any amount when you visit ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Your gift today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now, let's rejoin Ron and Tunch for a preview of our next broadcast.
You know, I think that so often we live for the day. we don't think about tomorrow. We don't think about the long-lasting effect that our actions have on what's going to happen tomorrow.
And it's tempting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because you're looking at the opportunity or the allure that's out there right in front of you. And it's easy for all of us to rationalize, I can take that today. Mm-hmm. I don't have to worry about tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So a huge discipline in the life of a Christian man or woman,
right,
is to live life today in order to have something to leave tomorrow that's
right.
worthwhile.
Yeah.
In order to have something to build into their kids, the people around them, the world that God has placed them in.
We hope you can join us for that conversation next time. And please remember that a digital download of Ron Moore's inspiring devotional, Strong and Courageous, is available for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Also, we'd like to invite Pittsburgh area listeners to visit our church website at biblechapel.org. There you'll find information about our area campuses and their ministries. They're located in Robinson, Rostraver, South Hills, Washington, and Wilkinsburg. Again, that address is biblechapel.org. And if the journey has brightened your day and deepened your walk with Christ, we ask that you tell your friends and family about our program. Finally, please keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations to remain on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron and Tunch next time as we walk together on The Journey.